following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall, and just above Daniela's Ristorante. It is Father's Day, and guess where I am this Father's Day morning? I'm here in studio, and I'm not even with my kids. I'm joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day, Mark.
Well, thank you.
What a fabulous day.
Thanks for coming in to celebrate with me.
Anytime. Anytime. We're celebrating with the fathers later on today at my house.
That's how we'll all do it. I figured my kids weren't awake anyways this morning, so.
Yeah, your kids are teenagers now, right. Are older, so yeah, they're not getting up early.
So I get to do what I want to do, and I love doing the radio show.
And
so
that's not a bad thing.
Nope. So here we are in studio, and we are back from a trip that we took a couple weeks ago, aren't we?
A whirlwind trip.
It was a whirlwind trip. Christian Karcher, who many of you have heard on this radio show. Christian has been with us a little more than 4 years now. Christian got married, not last weekend, but the weekend prior. And we all flew out to Milwaukee, didn't we, Marion?
It was fun. We had a great time. We flew into Chicago and drove to Milwaukee to see him get married, and it was lovely.
It really was. We had a wonderful time. I mean, Sonia was with us, and Jody came with us, and my wife Laura came. It was really nice, and I think Christian's mother and Jessica's parents were absolutely delighted to have us there. They were fabulous hosts.
Absolutely. We thank them so much. It was a wonderful time. We enjoyed it thoroughly from the beginning to the end. It was really fun.
And it was nice finally getting back together with a bunch of people without any masks on, wasn't it?
It certainly was. And they had a few surprise events at the wedding that we had never seen before.
Which was?
One of them was the marching band, some of the members of the marching band from the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah, they just
came
showed
in and played. Apparently, this is a thing in Wisconsin, but we had never seen it, so it was fun.
Yeah, it was like the pep band. And
yeah.
Apparently, according to Christian, they had just lifted the restrictions on allowing musical instruments to be played at venues. And so this group jumped on the idea. There must have been 15 or 20 of them that showed up.
Yeah.
And it was a great, great event.
They really entertained the crowd, and the kids had a blast.
They really did.
Yeah.
And you said there were two things. Was there something else that surprised you or anything else?
Well, at the end of the night, we had really some interesting treats. We had cheese curds.
Cheese curds, yeah. Cheese curds and donuts.
Which we don't see much around here.
No,
so
we don't.
That was also very exciting.
Yep, and we had, because we were rushed, we flew in Saturday morning because the wedding was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right, and you had to be here for your son's graduation the night before.
Yeah, because Christian said he was uninviting me to the wedding if I didn't go to Corey's graduation.
And rightly so.
Well, and we had a beautiful night. It all worked out. But because we were so tight, where did we end up having lunch before the wedding, Marion?
We had lunch at the Piggly Wiggly.
That is right.
For those of you who are unfamiliar, it's a supermarket. But we needed something quick, easy, and suitable for everybody that was there.
That's right.
So, yeah, so it was fun.
So we had our lunch in the minivan just before we got to the wedding. And afterwards, we went to, I guess, an ice cream favorite place out in the Midwest called Culver's, where they do frozen custard.
And any of you from the Midwest, I bet you know Culver's. It was delicious.
Yep. We had never been. Kristen insisted we had to go, so we got it all done. But I will tell you the funniest part of the whole trip. Well, not I wouldn't say the funniest, but one of the most eye-opening parts of the trip as we were driving from Chicago all the way up to Milwaukee.
And we passed the cheese castle.
We did pass the cheese castle, but what other big factory did we pass, Marion?
Oh, my God, that was just hilarious. Yeah, there was a huge factory for adult diapers, which we had also never seen before.
I'd never seen an adult diaper factory before.
Right,
but
exactly.
I have a feeling they're like a co-packer because we tried to find them on the internet, and all it said was North Shore Adult Diaper, and you can't buy from them, so I have a feeling... they make the diapers and then someone private labels them.
Must be the case.
But we had a wonderful trip.
It was big. It was a big factory.
So I was the Wardlows were wonderful hosts.
They certainly were.
It was wonderful.
Everything was perfect. What a perfect wedding and a perfect day.
The weather was great.
Beautiful day.
Yeah, a little warm, but the weather was good.
Yeah.
And I probably drank more than I should have.
Well, it was fun.
We had
a great day.
Anyway, so like I said, we're here in studio. It is Father's Day, and Marion and I just thought we would kind of touch base and give a little reality check to some of the things that people have been thinking. You know, if you think back to March of 2020 when this COVID-19 thing hit, people thought it was the end of the world.
Seems like so long ago now, but it was dire at the time.
It felt that way.
It really did.
And when things get extreme, people get irrational.
Absolutely. And the market had dropped precipitously in a very short period of time. So there were a lot of people who were extremely nervous about their money at that point.
Yeah. And it's hard to imagine when you look back at especially if you've been invested for a period of time, as painful as that month or two might have been. It's like this little blip on a chart.
We've taken a look at 3-year charts to put it all in perspective right now. And it's amazing. It looks like almost a non-event. Of course, for those of us who were sitting there at the time, it was a huge event, but not so much right now.
And, you know, we've been through several years of several experiences like this, whether it was the dot-com bust
in 2000,
financial crisis that we had in 08 and 09.
Yep.
We've had, of course, COVID-19 and several others that were maybe shorter term along the way.
Yes.
And when you look at the headlines that appear in the newspapers, social media, on the news, man, it raises fear in so many people whenever we hit these periods of time where people say, oh my God, is this time different? Do I need to do something differently? And our focus has always been to be rational during emotional times. And it's amazing how keeping a plain vanilla strategy, not trying to chase what the speculators want to say or do, has worked very well for our clients over decades, not just a year or two, but decades.
That's for sure. So we've been at this a long time, and we, as Mark said, we've been through those hills and valleys, but we've found that if you take some time at the very beginning and you set up a plan of action and you stick to that plan, that's the key.
Yeah.
And when the market goes down, you have to just remember that we've planned for this. This has been in the plan. We know that this is going to happen. And this time is probably not different. It has never turned out to be different. The market has always come back, sometimes faster than others. In 2020, it came back very quickly. In 2008, 2009, it took a lot longer. But it did come back and go on to greater heights.
Right, with a vengeance. It comes back huge.
Exactly.
As long as you are well positioned and you're not trying to time the market. And, you know, right now we hear all of these stories on the news of these hot new types of investments to look at, whether they're SPACs, this, what's the acronym? Special Placement Acquisition Company or
Special Purpose Acquisition Company.
So whether it's those, whether it's these meme stocks people are talking about, whether it's cryptocurrencies, whether it's, you know, energy stocks or clean energy stocks, whatever it might be.
Actually, the big one right now is inflation.
That's right. And that's what people are talking about is, oh my God, what happens if inflation comes in? You know, I just saw, I had a deck put on the back of my house. Well, we knocked down one deck and we put up another one. And the builder, when he came out, he says to me, Mark, I can't believe how expensive screws are, because we were using the AZEK trim board, not wood. And of course, lumber prices have been up huge.
Skyrocketed.
And then you look at the news and people are saying, oh my God, that's going to lead to inflation. Everything's going to be more expensive. And then you turn on the news this week and you see lumber prices have dropped 50%.
Well, you know, a part of the, as at least from what I read, part of the cost of lumber was the their ability to get it. So a lot of our lumber comes from Canada. So they were not able to get that lumber into the U.S. for many months when the borders were completely shut. So that created a shortage. And, you know, whenever there's demand and short supply, you always see prices go up. And at some point, it will right itself. It's just you got to wait it out.
Yeah, but inflation can happen in a lot of places. One of the biggest surprises is the automobile industry right now. If you want to buy a used car.
Only used cars.
Right. You want to buy a used car, there's no more haggling for a used car. The dealers can get whatever they want. Kind of like people selling a house right now.
As a matter of fact, my husband got a note one day about, do you want to sell your car? Because we have buyers for your car, as a used car, they were looking for them. So it was amazing.
It's amazing. Drive down Route 114 here, and some of the automobile lots are not full.
I know.
There's lots of spaces with room for cars because the inventory of used cars is very small. And it really is remarkable how things have changed. But those things have gone up. Other prices have come down. So is inflation a concern?
Well, that depends.
Right, that's the answer for everything, right?
And that is the answer to everything. I mean, one of the things you need to remember is don't make a decision on something that you read today in the newspaper, because you need to take a longer term perspective
of
what's happening.
I'm always recall a conversation that we must have had maybe 8 or 9 years ago. Maybe it was even more than that. When we were in our old office, an attorney had talked with one of our clients, and they had said, you don't want to be investing in municipal bonds. You remember that?
Oh, very, very well.
And why were they saying that?
They said that because there was a woman, I believe her name was Elaine Gazzarelli, and she had once made a very great call, and I believe it was, I can't remember whether it was in 2000 or 2007, where she predicted the market was going down. And she was right. And so everybody looked at her as a guru. Well, at that time, she predicted that muni bonds were going to decline radically. And you shouldn't own it. So this attorney told our client that he should sell all of his muni bonds. Well, upon further, you know, we had actually done some research on this when she made that call. And in fact, particularly in Massachusetts, the municipal bond market was very strong. And the state of Massachusetts had the ability to pay the interest on that as well as redeem those bonds. So we were not at all concerned about Massachusetts municipal bonds, which is what our clients were buying because they lived in Massachusetts.
Right.
So you just have to take it a step further. And by the way, she was wrong.
She was very, very wrong.
So far off
because
base.
We take these statements that come out from some guru, some talking head, some person, and it's a national label. But when we think about where we live, whether we're in Massachusetts or whether you're in Florida or wherever you are listening to this, recognize that a national statement does not reflect your unique personal situation. And that's why you need to work with somebody who will give you the guidance, who will give you the instruction, that understands your situation, that you're not making decisions based upon national conversations.
Or averages of, everybody in your age group across the U.S. Things are very different on the coasts. The prices of cost of living, I should say, is extremely different on, either the East Coast or the West Coast than it is in the Midwest. Again, Christian in our office, he'll tell you, house prices in Wisconsin are not nearly what house prices are in Boston.
That's for sure. And that's what we try to provide on this radio show. It's financial advice in a language you can understand. We've got lots of it lined up for you today. I hope you're enjoying this morning. It's a beautiful day outside. It is Father's Day. So you can let Dad sleep if you want, or maybe he's up doing stuff. I know I'm here at the radio station. But we are here to provide you, like I said, with financial advice in a language you can understand. And if you'd like to get our newsletter, which comes out every Friday, which is filled with tidbits of financial advice, go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website, put in your name, your email address. You can leave us a message if you'd like, and we will have you signed up and join the other subscribers, the thousands of subscribers that are part of our new newsletter subscription list. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey, well, I need a dollar, dollar.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. And it is Sunday, Father's Day. Hope you're doing well. We are broadcasting to you live this morning. It is Marion and I. We have two of us. Marion, thanks for coming in to celebrate Father's Day with me.
You know what? I forgot to bring you breakfast, but next time, next year.
It's all right. I'm hoping that there's breakfast at home when I get back there. Kids are awake.
I would hope so. You got enough of them to feed you.
We had four of them living at home this summer. It was quiet for a while everybody was off at college and everybody was working.
Got used to it, didn't you?
Yes. So everybody's back home for the summer. I just don't understand, why is it that I still feel like I'm the only one that puts things in the dishwasher?
Because you are.
Because they eat, they leave stuff around, and I go around every morning when I wake up, picking up the dishes, picking up the glassware, and putting it back into the dishwasher.
Just because they get older, it doesn't mean anything changes. I have a 33-year-old. Same thing.
So
he doesn't live with me anymore, but...
And I guess that holds true, because when I went to go visit Jerry down where he was living down in Miami, when I went to visit Alana in Rhode Island, their kitchens are a mess. They don't seem to take anything and put it in the dishwasher at all. They just leave stuff around, and it doesn't seem to bother them. It drives me nuts.
You know, everybody has a different tolerance level, right?
I guess so. Well, here's hoping, hint, hint, kids, if you're listening, when I get home, I'm hoping that there won't be any dishes on the counter or in the sink.
I don't know why you think they're awake yet.
You're probably right.
They are not in the age group that gets up at 5 in the morning.
No. Well, speaking about ages... You know, we do a lot of financial planning at our office. I mean, that is what
we lead with.
We lead with financial planning first for all of our clients, all 450-plus households, 90% of whom live within 10 miles of our office or had roots within 10 miles of the office. And one of the fascinating things that I learn from clients is that when we're building a financial plan, one of the things that's important is helping a client understand the answer to the question, when will I run out of money? Or will I run out of money? Hopefully you never will. But oftentimes we'll ask people to consider how long do they think they'll live? And everybody
That's a
has
tough a, question.
I don't know the answer to that. You don't know the answer to that.
Nope.
But I'd like to think that whatever they think they'll live till, there'll be money that will extend longer than that, just in case they're wrong.
Exactly.
And so this past week, I was meeting with a couple. And she was saying, geez, I'm just hoping that this money lasts till I'm 83 years old. That's my life expectancy. I said, how do you know? And she says, well, I've just heard that, 83 is probably as long as I'll live, based upon my background or whatever. I'm glad she has that crystal ball.
Well, average life expectancy, I do believe she's correct in that average life expectancy at birth, say, was age 83 for females. But, you know, things are so different today. And actually, that the average life expectancy changes as you get older. So once you reach age 65, because remember, now we've actually achieved the goal of reaching age 65 without dying. So the average, you know, you've taken off all those early years that right. might factor into the average. So there's a much better possibility, particularly if you're married, there's a very high probability that at least one of you will live into your 90s.
Right, and that's they say at 65.
Yeah. Yep.
If you're married at age 65, there's at least a 50% chance or better
correct.
That you will live to 90.
That's correct.
And so you got to put that back into perspective, because we were just talking in the earlier segment about national headlines.
Correct.
So remember, when they're saying 50% of the population who are 65 years of age or older have a strong likelihood of living to 90 years of age or more, that includes you who are listening to this show. That includes those that are living in some of the most difficult and depressed neighborhoods in some of the most inner cities who are 65 years old. So you put all of those people into that equation. And if you say, all right, well, if we screened out some of the people who have health issues, who do not have the best of economical environments to live in, some
don't
of us
have access to good health care.
Exactly.
You know, think of us. We are in an area where we have access to remarkable health care.
And there's a chance that you're going to live even longer than 90.
Absolutely.
So what do we plan for? When we're trying to build a plan for our clients, Marion, about we take a look at all of the assets that they have, we take a look at the income that they have, the guaranteed income streams like a Social Security check, perhaps there's a pension check, and then there's the supplemental draw that they take from their investment accounts. How long do we anticipate people will live when we build our plans?
Yeah, so we look at people living to age 100. I mean, we would rather err on the side of caution and have money, you know, when you're in your 90s, if you live into your 90s, or if you live to 100, we want you to have money rather than planning to age 90, having you run out of money at 90 and your life continues to 95, because that's not a good scenario.
No, it's not a good scenario at all.
No.
And, you know, and in our business, we've seen people that achieve different, that spend money differently at different stages in their life. And as we're building our financial plans for folks, many times when we ask clients, how do you think you'll spend your money now as opposed to in age 70 or 80 or 90, many people are saying, well, I don't want to spend much of my money now because I want to be sure that I have enough for all of the healthcare costs. They've been scared to death about what some of these reports say on how much healthcare costs would be down the road.
That's very true, yes. And it turns out that for many people, healthcare costs are not nearly that
no
much.
Way.
No
way. I remember Fidelity had come out with a report years ago that said after you turn age 65, healthcare costs per person between 65 and the time you die will be $250,000 a person.
Right.
And that sounds like a big amount of money. You say, oh my God, do I need $250,000 a year? Well, no, I mean, $250,000 up front to last through the rest of my lifetime, not at all. And I think the most expensive years come in the last 2 or 3 years of your life.
Right. And that's typically when you might need a lot more care. But remember, you know, I think one thing that people tend to forget is that in the early years, you're spending money on new cars or driving, you know, maintaining cars. You're spending money on travel, going out to dinner. Well, guess what? Once you're in your later years and you're in ill health, you don't do any of that.
Right.
So do you really need a lot more money, or are you just spending the same amount of money, but you're spending it very differently? So that's the consideration.
Right. And so many financial plans that get done are built that says, well, when you reach age 85, if you were spending $60,000 a year or $5,000 a month, maybe you'll only spend $4,000 a month at 85. I don't necessarily agree that that's the way to approach that. I think it can be a dangerous way of planning.
Absolutely, because once again, think about if you're living in your own house still, and a lot of people want to stay in their own house, well, maybe once you reach age 85, you need somebody now to do a lot more work around the house that you used to be able to do, you know, whether it's yard work or work inside the house or odd jobs that you need done around the house. So a lot of times people have to hire others to do some of those jobs. And sure, maybe on entertainment and, you know, average everyday living, you might be spending a little bit less, but because you need help in areas that you didn't when you were 65, you end up spending the same amount or more.
And many folks, oftentimes, as they get into their 80s or 90s, they live with this principle that I continue to share with a lot of clients, to give with warm hands rather than cold ones. And, you know, you see your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, and you think, maybe I'd like to give the money to pay for college. Maybe it's to buy a new car. And so these are larger chunks of money that you're pulling out of the amount of money that you'd normally spend over the course of the year, but it's keeping you still within the scope of what's been typical. So we generally don't drop the amount of money that you'd be spending as you get older in our financial plans.
Right. We do keep it relatively consistent, unless there are things that we know will go away that are big expenses.
Right.
For instance, if you own a second home, you might, at a certain point down the road, you might say, you know what, we can't do the second home anymore, and we get rid of those expenses. But if it's just average living, we tend to keep the spending approximately equal.
Yeah, and in fact, we also strip out mortgages too, don't we?
That's correct, yes. Because again, if you enter into retirement with a mortgage, it's likely those costs will be done at some point along the way, unless you took it out at 65 and it's a 30-year mortgage, but, you know, typically it ends sooner. The other thing is car payments. Sometimes, you know, we do plan for new cars, but we might stop that at age 85, say, or 90, depending. Although we have clients that drive well into their 90s.
Absolutely.
So who knows, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but you're right. But buying a car every 4 or 5 years, even as you get older, is something that people plan to do.
Yeah.
I know we have several clients that have owned their cars for 10, 12, 15 years,
yeah,
and they still only have 75,000 miles in the car. They don't go anywhere. But typically it's part of the plan. So beyond the normal spending that we look at, you know, for eating out, for the property taxes, for all of cable bill, for clothing, cell phones, all that stuff.
Right.
We still have to realize that there will be periods of time in your life where there's large expenses that are necessary. Maybe you need to replace the roof. Maybe replace the driveway. Maybe the kitchen needs some updating, or you don't want those Formica counters anymore.
Well, and that's very true. I mean, think about living in a house for 30 years without doing any upkeep. I don't know that that's possible. I mean, I've lived in my house for 25 years, and over those years, we've done a lot in the house.
Absolutely.
And it was brand new when we moved in 25 years ago. But just routine stuff, you know, new roof, new furnace, all of that stuff. And those are things you have to do. You can't put that off for 10 years.
Right. And so that's what you got to be thinking about when you're thinking about financial planning. We haven't talked anything about investments. It doesn't matter whether you own stocks or bonds or mutual funds or ETFs or large cap or small cap or international. Do you have the resources? Do you have a plan in place? Do you have a vision and somebody that's tracking all of this to make sure that you can spend money for the rest of your life and not run out? It's not about how at some point it does come down to how the money's invested. But first you got to have a vision of what it's going to cost. And then surprises come. As much as we want to plan for the future, we have to plan for, oh my goodness, what if someone dies? Or what if there's a catastrophic expense that presents itself? Well, those are some things that we also need to consider as we're doing our planning. And when we get back, we're going to share some of those types of ideas, because you need to be planning for the unplannable, for the unexpected.
For the unexpected, absolutely.
That's right. So before we head off, I want to remind you again about our free weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday morning. Lands in your inbox at 10:30 in the morning. It's called Planning Pointers. If you'd like to get your copy and join the over 7,500 subscribers that are already registered to receive it, go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, and you'll be able to sign up for the newsletter, put in your name, and you can even send us a little message if you'd like. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall, and just above Daniela's Ristorante at 41 Cross Street in Peabody. Reminding you, of course, if now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, we hope you'll give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And joining me this morning, this Father's Day, is Marion Gilman, my business partner. Marion, how are you this morning?
I'm great. What a great day. And I get to spend this afternoon with my family.
Yeah.
So all good. Yeah.
That should
celebrate
be nice.
Father's Day. Yes. Well, and you?
Well, hopefully my kids will wake up.
Oh, and well, that's always iffy. Around noon. If you hang out a little bit, you know, at the studio or whatever, then you go home.
Yeah. I'm hoping maybe when I get home that maybe there'll be breakfast, maybe. But
ooh.
I'm kind of thinking that the only thing that might be around is perhaps a brewed cup of coffee that Laura will put aside because
nice.
she knows
okay.
that I'm coming home. She's probably tracking me. But that's... Well, we'll see. It's nice to have everybody home. I think I'm going to have everybody home for Father's Day this Sunday.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
okay.
So it'll be nice to have
That's
everybody
great.
Around.
Good.
Yeah,
good,
so
good.
It's all good. So,
fun.
You know, we've been spending some time on the radio this morning talking about some real life financial planning issues that people think about on a day-to-day basis. You know, financial planning is an important subject, and oftentimes it gets lumped in with the conversation of investments. And I remind people all the time that financial planning isn't part of an investment strategy. An investment strategy is part of a financial plan. And never confuse the two. And you need to ask yourself, if you're ever working with a financial advisor, what is more important to them? The financial plan for you or the investment strategy for you? And if they know more about your investment than they do about your overall financial plan, ask yourself whether your interests are being placed first. I know there's a term called a fiduciary, and I can't tell you how many times people call our office saying, are you a fiduciary? And of course we are, but then we ask them the question, well, what do you think a fiduciary is? And Marion, how might we respond to that kind of stuff?
Well, most people don't really know what a fiduciary is. And you know, because it's a term they've heard that we should, you know, you should hire an advisor who is a fiduciary, but they don't necessarily know what it means.
What?
And simply, I mean, a fiduciary is a person who always puts your interests first.
Now, who would say that they
important.
Wouldn't? Could you find anybody that would say, I'm sorry, I'd like to sell you this, but I'm really not going to put your interests first?
Well, they're not going to tell you that in plain language, but, you know, there are people out there, and we read about them in the headlines all the time, who have, you know, maximized their profit instead of doing what's right for the client.
Right.
And we've always taken the approach where we want to do what's right for the client.
And maybe you can explain to our listeners, how do we make sure that we are taking that fiduciary approach?
Yeah, so one of the things that we always, always do is we always start off by finding out where everything is that you own and what you owe. So we create what's called a net worth statement. We look at your whole entire life, all of your assets, all of your liabilities, and put it in the form of a net worth statement. We also look at cash flow coming into the household. We look at spending. We also look at what your goals are. I mean, these are all important factors to know before you even glance at, you know, what the investments you should be in. What? How long do you have until retirement? How long? What if you want to buy a second home? When is that going to be? How can I invest somebody's money if they all of a sudden they turn around and they say, oh, well, I forgot to tell you, we're buying a summer home in 2 months.
Right. Or we're going to get an inheritance. Or I have a big expense coming up to put my kids through school, or
absolutely,
whatever else it might be.
So we need to know all of that. And that's when we find out everything about you. It can be painful to put all that stuff together sometimes, but that's what we do in order to be sure we are doing the right thing for the client.
And man, does it provide peace of mind to not just the husband and the wife, or the two partners, or whomever else it might be, because God forbid something happens to one of those people in that relationship, there's somebody who actually knows where everything is and what everything is worth.
That's so very true. And, you know, we've had people who have died unexpectedly. And we should all be aware of this after the past year, because with COVID, you know, there were people dying at a lot younger age than would have ever been expected. So, you know, we want to be sure that we know what people have. But there, we've helped out many spouses who were left not really knowing what's out there. And, you know, they've come to us and we can provide a net worth statement that says, well, what about this? Or what about the 401k? What about this? Oh, I forgot about, you know, they would say, I forgot about that. So it's very important to have all of that.
Yeah. So most people, you know, many people, when they initially come to us, they want to have a financial plan built about, and it says, you know, imagine I lived to age 90 or age 100, you know, would I run out of money? But never do they really want to have the question of, what if one of us were to die tomorrow?
Right.
What would happen? Yeah, of course there's the question of how much money would the surviving spouse have, but what would really happen? And as I'm reminded more and more often, this is not like a Perry Mason episode when you visit the oak room where the law firm is and there's the fancy reading of the will. In fact, the will rarely, in many cases, comes into the conversation when it's time to settle out somebody's estate.
Right.
And so a big part of what we do, Marion, is making sure that we understand the estate planning that's necessary for our clients. We don't write the estate plan, but we have the guidance and understanding so that we can talk to the attorney and showcase with them what happens.
And provide a second voice and a second opinion for the client as well, which I think is important. Sometimes attorneys, they have a tendency to talk in their own language, which I think we have a tendency to do as well. But we do try to help interpret some of that for the client, or to give a second opinion, because they don't understand why something an attorney is recommending might be important. And we can give them some instances of where that has come into play.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years, and I've been at this 30 years now, you've been here at the office 21 years, but you've been doing this even longer,
yep,
is we never planned to have, you know, clients die. I mean, people die, right? My dad started the business 52 years ago. And, you know, sadly, we've had 11 deaths as of this radio show today for this year.
Yeah, and so you shouldn't think that just because you are one of our clients, you're going
to
die.
No, not at all. We try to make sure the coffee's good and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
But, and honestly, everyone says, oh, that must have been through COVID. Not a single one has been because of COVID.
Not this year, right.
But here's what has been very, very frustrating. So we become one of the first calls that a client makes the surviving spouse makes when someone has passed away. And they want to know what to do next. And so we ask, you know, well, who's the attorney that's going to be handling the estate? And they mention the attorney that they're working with. And I find out that the attorney really specialize in real estate transactions or real estate specializes as a prosecutor, but they also do some estate planning work. And what we find out in many cases is that the attorneys, as much as they're willing to help you, really don't know what to do when it's time to settle the estate. They know how to write the documents because you can easily pull up a template off of a computer and fill in the blanks, but the actual administration and the transitions and the reporting of what's necessary to settle an estate is a little different, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I think one important question to ask an attorney if you're going to them for estate planning is to say, how many estates have you settled as opposed to documents written?
Yeah.
Because the documents written in many cases are very simple, very simple. It's a template essentially, because most people have, you know, most of our clients are middle America and they have just average wills. I mean, there's nothing sophisticated about it. But how many people they, you know, how many estates they've settled will give you an idea of whether or not they could handle it on the other end.
Right, because they, you know, there's wills, there's trusts, there's all sorts of things that they may have drafted for you. But I want you to know this. The person that wrote your estate planning document does not necessarily have to be the person that settles your estate. And I oftentimes people go back, well, because this law firm wrote the estate planning documents, I must have to use them. But chances are, when they wrote those documents, they may not have specialized in estate work. They did it because you needed that work. You want to work with an estate planning firm that focuses on settling estates. So to your point, Marion, how many estates have you settled rather than how many estate plans have you written?
Correct. Correct. Because, and again, you know, we've seen cases where certain things were overlooked, and that can affect a client. I mean, you know, a final tax return needs to be filed. If nobody tells the client about this, or the, you know, the survivor about this, how would they know? So you need a firm that knows what to do.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. We were working with somebody recently who said, yes, we settled the estate. I said, did someone file an estate tax return? They said, oh, we don't do that. The accountant would do that. Well, You at least need to guide your client to know that they have to file that final estate tax return.
Exactly, because a person, you know, any average person is not going to
even
know that. How would they know?
And they think they've done everything they need to,
exactly.
And then they get dinged somewhere down the road.
Correct.
So this is what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. It's what Friedman Financial does every single day. Yes, we manage money. We manage a lot of money. But that is a part of the overall financial plan. I'm looking at the clock, and we need to take a quick break. We got into this conversation, Marion, and we got to speed it all up because
happens
we got to leave.
Happens all the time,
we
right?
Yeah, I know. Something new comes up all the time. But I want, when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about forecasting and some of the decisions that we make based upon the news of the day and whether that's the right approach to be thinking about our long-term future.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall, and just above Daniela's Ristorante on 41 Cross Street in Peabody. We're hoping you're having a wonderful Father's Day. It is a beautiful day out there, and hopefully you can get out there if you've been vaccinated without a mask and enjoy having some family come over. I'm joined here in the studio today with my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, welcome back.
Thanks. So nice to be here.
And I know you're vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. We're all vaccinated in the office, right?
All is fabulous. Yes, exactly.
So it's been nice having clients come back into the office, whether it's existing clients or even new appointments that we're hosting here in the office, where we don't need to wear masks.
As long as you're vaccinated, it's great.
Oh,
Wearing those masks all day was not fun.
No. But we can serve you coffee again. Everyone comes in. Well, those that have been clients of ours know they come in for a few things. Everyone loves the chocolates. We seem to have this rush on chocolates. People want them, and we've got lots of different ones in the office. They also like our pens. They like the sticky pads. I think they like to see us, but I think they sometimes
really
come for the giveaways.
It's more the chocolate.
Yeah, but just for those that are listening, if now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, we are accepting new business. We would love to meet with you. The best way to do that is to pick up the phone and give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. You'll probably leave a message if you called today because nobody's in the office. But our associate Jody will get back to you. She'll learn a little bit more about your situation. We will see whether you're a good fit for the office. Perhaps she'll forward you along to Marion or to I for us to have a further conversation. And if it feels right, we'll have you come into the office for a free initial consultation for us to understand your situation and for you to get to know us a little bit. But one thing that you need to know about Friedman Financial is that it's not my clients or Marion's clients or any of the other people that work in our office. We work as a team, don't we?
We certainly do. So, and we always have, and it's worked out great for us as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it really has.
You know, the clients know that if Mark's traveling or if I'm traveling, they can reach one of us. And we keep great notes. So every time we have conversations with clients and all the important things that go on in a client's life, we keep notes on that so that if Mark has had a conversation with you and you want to pick up that thread and he's not in the office, we can go from where you left off.
Yeah, and you know, in fact, the Securities and Exchange Commission was in our office a couple of years ago, and one of the things that they look for when they're doing an audit, because we are a federally registered investment advisor, they want to make sure that we're following the responsibility of being a fiduciary by placing the interests of our clients first. And one of the ways that they test that is to see what kind of notes are we keeping on an ongoing basis with our clients, not just from the first meeting. Because remember, we've been doing this a long time. I could have notes from 20, 30 years ago.
And we do.
And we do, right. And the notes today are far more relevant today than what they were 30 years ago.
Exactly.
So we need to make sure that those notes are there and that they're accessible and we can follow the story. And that's really what it is all about here at Friedman Financial, is following that story, because things change. And as we well know, the vision that we've had on the future of the economy, the future of our life, the future of what direction we're heading in, changes all the time. Yet, it seems like sound bites sometimes stop us in our tracks, and they make us rethink how we should be forecasting and planning as we look to the future. And Marion, how do we try to help our clients guide through those changes that we present,
right,
that we see?
Well, you know what? Of course, we know that along the way, and interest rates will go up, interest rates will go down. Inflation will go up, inflation will go down. Stock market will go up, stock market will go down. So we understand all of this will happen. There are things that are extremely disruptive, like COVID. We did not expect that. But you know what? Even looking at that time frame, all of this eventually reverts to the mean. In other words, it goes back to what the normal condition is. So yes, we might have some times where things are way out of whack, where we say, oh my God. And for instance, last March 2020, the market went down 35%, the S&P 500.
Right.
That was very unexpected. Who would have thought? And we looked at it and said, you know what? It will come back. And it came back in record time. So it does revert back to the mean, to the average, to where it should be. And now it's gone on to way higher levels.
Yeah, so some of those forecastings, we get forecasts all the time,
yeah,
that tell us, well, we think this is going to be a big trend moving forward. This is going to do well in the coming year. This is going to do poorly. How do we, do we ride those trends, Mary?
Never. And you should always know that for any forecast that this is what's going to happen. There's somebody else who's giving a forecast that is saying the exact opposite that is going to happen. So last March, for instance, again, some people said, oh, this is going to be a V-shaped recovery where the market went down. It's going to shoot right back up. Others were saying it's going to be L-shaped. In other words, it goes down, it stays down for a very long period of time. Fortunately, it was V-shaped, but who knew? We didn't know.
I actually had a different call.
What'd you have?
I called it the square root.
The square root.
I did, because the market had gone up,
yep.
Then it went down,
yep.
And then it went up past where it was, and then it started to level, and then it was going to level off. And in reality, that's kind of what's happened over the past few months. People have been looking at their statements and they're going,
that's correct.
Well, wait a second. My account isn't growing like it used to. Well, come on. Your account grew so much for so many years.
I know.
And then people say, well, aren't you planning for the market to go back down?
Sure.
And what are you doing to reposition your portfolios knowing that the market's going to go down?
Well, here's the deal. And with any good financial planning, with any good investment strategy, what you want to do before you invest $1 of your money, you want to look at it and you want to figure out, what's my risk tolerance? Can I handle these ups and downs in the market? Or how much can I handle? When am I going to need the money? Is it 2 years down the road? Is it 20 years down the road? And you know, that dictates what your investment strategy might be. Your age as well. But you think about it, how much should I have in stuff that's more conservative, typically bonds, and how much should I have in stuff that's more aggressive or stocks? So if we just look at stocks and bonds. So let's say we start out and we say, right now, you know, my time horizon is 10 years and I'm not going to need any of this money for at least that amount of time. But at that time, I'm going to retire and I'm going to need a lot of money. Well, maybe it's let's say my risk tolerance is very low. So I'm going to take a 60-40 portfolio. I need some growth, but 40% of my money is going to be conservative. 60% of my money is going to be growth oriented. Well, what's happened? You look at it every year. And I would tell you to look at it every year if you're doing it on your own. We look at it a little more frequently, but you look at it and you say, well, where am I right now? Am I still 60-40? And if all of a sudden you're 70% stock, 30% bonds, yeah, you need to do something. You need to take some money out of stock and put it in bonds. That's it.
Well, that sounds rational,
but
is that what people do?
That's never what people do. As a matter of fact, when the market's going up, they say, I don't want to take any money out of stocks. I want to leave it all in stock.
Yeah, because my bonds are doing so poorly, or the bank isn't giving me any interest.
And that's so true. And on the other extreme, when the market goes down and all of a sudden your bonds are now 50% versus 40, nobody wants to take that 10% and put it in stocks because the market's way down and it's not comfortable to do that. But that's what you should be doing.
And we just had this in the past year where, for the past several years, growth has outperformed value, hasn't it?
That is, well, up until recently.
Right. But as growth was outperforming value, all of those tech stocks doing really well, we would continue to rebalance our accounts to add to the value side because we knew they would respond better in other periods of time.
Right.
But most people thought we were nuts. Why don't you just keep running with your winners?
Yeah, well, the value stocks haven't done well, have they?
No.
So why put more money in
there? Right. And then all of a sudden, things changed.
That's right.
And value outperformed growth.
And the problem is you just don't know when that change is going to happen. So you need to be prepared for it. You also need to be prepared, again, if you're getting closer to retirement, you want to be sure you've got the money you need in something safe, not aggressively positioned.
And so look, I think you would agree. Marion, you think the market's going to drop?
Sure.
I mean,
I know when? No.
No, but we know it, and it could drop significantly.
Will.
It could
Absolutely.
Drop 10-20%.
Sure.
When? It's normal, right?
But remember, a normal correction, normally, at least once a year, we see a 10% drop,
right,
or more. And several times a year, we might see a 5% drop. So that's normal.
So this week, we get this note that comes across. The Fed was meeting, and they said, you know, inflation is likely, and interest rates will likely go up in 2023.
Yeah.
And the Dow drops, and Dow drops 300 points on that announcement.
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%? Less than, a tenth of 1% is 300 points. But 300 still sounds like a big number these days.
It does, doesn't it?
But it really doesn't matter. And that's how people react. They react to sound bites. And frankly, that's all part of marketing. Remember, all of your social media links, all of the things that you see on TV, they're in the entertainment business. They want to get a hook to hold on to you so you don't change the channel, so that you buy their product or their service.
Stock market plunges.
Yeah, that's, we hear plenty of that.
And you're going to read that article, right?
Yeah, and plunge means, to me, if it plunges, it's going to zero. When you plunge off a diving board, you go to the bottom, right? You don't just go, oh, only 10% into the water. You go all the way down to the bottom.
There you go.
It's very misleading, and it's our job to provide you with rational advice during emotional times, and that's what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. Each and every Friday, we try to connect with our listeners, connect with our clients, connect with people in the community through our newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday morning, lands in your inbox at 10:30. If you'd like to be part of the 7,500 subscribers that are already registered to receive this newsletter, which we, by the way, we write ourselves, and we've been issuing this since March of 2009. Go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. Put in your name, your email address, and if you want to send us a note, great. Also, if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, we would love to talk with you. We are taking, people have been calling us. All of a sudden this year, it seems like more and more people are calling us because they're finally feeling like they know they need to do something and they know we'll take it seriously. Give our office a call if you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation. 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. I want to thank my business partner, Marion Gilman, for joining us today for Dollars and Cents.
My pleasure.
Well, thank you.
It's a great morning.
And you get to go home and celebrate Father's Day,
and
right?
And you too.
We do. And so we're going to get out of here.
You're the celebrantee, or whatever
I guess, if the kids wake up for it.
Right.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Have a wonderful day, everybody. We will be back next week with more Dollars and Cents and financial advice in a language you can understand. Have a great day, everyone, and happy Father's Day.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
Prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.